Chairperson, and good afternoon, honorable members. How are you?
We are good, and you?
Good. Is it a good sign that you are tired, honorable chair? Should we worry or should we not worry?
No, you must not worry.
See, the chair could be very irritable. Right?
I'm not worried. You must not worry. It's 3 o'clock. Everybody is there in the meeting. Everybody is in the meeting. DG, your team.
Honorable Chair, yes, we have
yes, Dumo Dlamini. I was going to go there.
Yes.
I'm talking about your staff, not the politician side.
Oh, okay. Yes, thank you. Yes, we do, Chairperson. We are ready.
Chair, can I disconnect for a minute? I'll connect again just now.
You must come back.
Okay, I will.
Please. How are you, President?
I'm very well, Chair. Thanks. And how are you?
I'm good, good. When you are president, you die as a president. You'll never change.
Yes, yeah. and your team and the DG and the team.
Okay, now we are starting. We are starting. Good afternoon, everybody, honorable members. Deputy Minister, DG from the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. It's 3 o'clock. We are starting with our meeting where we are going to receive the presentation from the Department of Agriculture. The presentation on how are they going to deal with the issue of land, the communal land that are in the hands of the traditional leaders. So today we are going to listen to the presentation to hear, because we are from the provinces and we are from the rural area where there are a lot of traditional leaders, where the traditional leaders have the interest on this matter. So today we are going to receive that presentation from the department, so that when we go back to our constituency, we must oversight on them to check whether what they said in the meeting is implemented outside there. So, honorable members, by saying, you are welcome to this meeting. Feel free. We hope DG and DM you stand for us now. Before I say that, Aska, before
yes,
I give to say something, the agenda.
The agenda, the briefing by the department on the government's position regarding the fate of communal land government governed by traditional leaders in accelerated land reform using state-owned land as a source of land for redistribution.
Okay.
That's the agenda. And then obviously the adoption of minutes.
Okay. Any apologies?
We have two apologies, Ms. Gwenya and Ms. Mukause.
Thank you very much. DM, but I did receive a letter of apology, or should a DM deal with it? Should I give the DM to deal with it, or should I, because the minister wrote a letter to me?
Well, you could deal with it, Chairperson, but I'm aware that the minister is not available.
Okay. I received a letter from the minister, says it's in Eastern Cape. He's having a program there of agriculture. So she could not make it to our meeting. And another apology is from the Deputy Minister Squasha is not be able to attend this meeting of today, but we are happy because the Deputy Minister Dumodamini is with us. Without wasting any time, let me give to DM to say something before, after that you can give the person.
Yes, Chairperson, I wouldn't delay the meeting for the reason that the DG is going to, as he leads our delegation, is going to present who is going to present. But I wish us all to take these matters as well, taking them seriously in this space. And with all respect, the land question is a pending question on which there should be a sign that we are moving. So I'll hand over to you, Chairperson, so that you give our DG to introduce the presenter. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, DM. You are right, because this issue, especially the land that we see in the hands of the traditional leaders, is a serious standing issue. They are questioning a lot about the land, but not only them, even the community itself, they are questioning a lot. And after we were supposed to be joined by the Deputy Minister Papela, is it in the meeting? Because you were saying you're going to join us.
I don't see him particularly, but I see somebody from his office, Mr. Adams. I think it is Mr. Brian Adams.
Okay.
From his office.
Okay. After the DG, maybe you'll tell us whether the DM will join us so that we must do a proper introduction to the meeting. DG? The platform is yours.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I have colleagues that are part of this delegation. Amongst them is Ms. Queen Fulani, who is the director in the branch that deals with the land tenure reform in the department. I've got Advocate Ngwengwe, who deals with the portfolio regarding the administration of state land. I have got Ms. Kubuza in the office of the DG. I also have Dr. Sifiso Ntombela from the National Agricultural Marketing Council, an agency of the department that is working with the department in the development of the agriculture and agro-processing master plan. And as we proceed with the presentation, the members will appreciate the role Dr. Ntombela is going to play in this presentation. Chairperson, I'm going to request my colleague, Ralph, to project the presentation if he's got the rights, or otherwise we'll request the secretariat to project the presentation. I will start with the presentation, and at a particular point, I'm going to hand over to Dr. Ntombela. And especially when we deal with the issues of the agriculture and agro-processing master plan, specifically as they relate to the land that we're discussing. Chairperson, thank you very much. That is the outline of the presentation. There is a specific context to this question. Let me from the outset say to the honorable members, the question that was posed by the committee to the department on the fate of communal land in the context of land reform generally, because it impacts on all the three legs of land reform. It impacts on tenure reform, which is one of the critical components of the of land reform. Tenure reform being the lack of land reform that deals with the issue of rights to land by South Africans. In this context, Kenya reform will be in relation to rights of communities and individuals who reside on communal land, whom as a department and in terms of the white paper on land policy in South Africa, the communities and the individuals that reside on communal land are regarded as the de facto owners. In other words, the state, the land may be registered in the name of the state, but in actual fact, the land belongs to the communities and the people who live on that land. With regard to land redistribution, we will speak directly to that in terms of restitution. The Constitution does not preclude restoration of communal land if on any of the pieces of communal land in any of the 11 self-governing territories and homeland, if any of that land is claimed and it is proved that the claim is valid, unless that land is encumbered and is not restorable, communal land is also subject to restitution. That's the context in which I bring restitution in the context of the three legs of land reform. The one element of land redistribution, I mean of land reform rather, that is not applicable to communal land is land redistribution. Because when you are talking about communal land, you are talking about the 13% of the land to which Africans during the consolidation of the apartheid state and its preceding governments moved and allocated the 13% to the Africans who were banished into these former homelands that were formerly called the reserves. And that land was allocated to those communities and the traditional leadership institutions that govern administratively that land. And therefore, that land cannot be and is not subject to the land redistribution because it already has owners. While legally, the land in the deeds office is registered as state land, it may be broadly categorized as state land in legal terms, because by title it is state land, except in the case of KwaZulu-Natal, where it is under Ingonyama Trust land. This land actually is not state land because it is occupied. It was set aside for the purposes of settlement by communities and tribes during the consolidation of the dispossession project by apartheid and its predecessors. So this land cannot be considered as part of the broad land redistribution. Land redistribution seeks to address equity in terms of land ownership in South Africa. As all of us will know the history, the majority were not allowed to own land. That is why we've got land hunger, we've got landlessness, we've got land tenure insecurity. So there's a whole range of categories of people who must benefit from land redistribution, be it in rural areas outside of the former homelands, be it in the small towns, the outer peripheries of our cities and towns, be it in urban areas. Land redistribution is not limited to agricultural land. Land redistribution also extends to other uses other than just agriculture. As much as the focus of the department over the last 25, 26 years has largely been to acquire land for agricultural development, but land reform and land redistribution specifically seeks to address landlessness, homelessness, but it also seeks to disrupt the apartheid special settlement patterns where the majority of the landless are living in the outer periphery, further and further away from the places of work. So land reform is that, land redistribution is that transformative instrument through which the apartheid spatial settlement pattern can be addressed. On the issue of the future of what is the government plan about communal land as things stand, the honorable members will remember that the president in 2018 appointed an advisory panel constituted by experts. These experts were given a period of time to advise government on land and agriculture, on new policies on land and agriculture. This panel concluded its work. It submitted its report to the president. The report was presented to parliament. Subsequent to that, the president established an interministerial committee chaired by the deputy president and several ministers to consider and process the recommendations of the advisory panel. The advisory panel and the IMC rather processed the recommendations of the panel. About 60 of the recommendations of the panel were accepted by cabinet on the 13th of December 2019. Among the recommendations of the panel that were accepted by the president, by cabinet rather, in 2019 December, it was a recommendation for the department to develop an overarching integrated land administration policy and legislation. I am happy to report, Chairperson, that the department is at an advanced stage of developing both the broad land tenure policy framework that caters for the categories of people that I have alluded to before, including specifically communal land, but also to relook at the land registration system in the country, because as you know, the land registration system and the land records in the country are currently limited to the largely the former four provinces of the then South Africa pre-1994, that is your Cape, your Natal, your Orange Free State, and your Transvaal. The areas outside of those former white provinces have got a completely different land tenure regime. So the proposed framework that the panel recommended to government seeks to make sure that there is a diverse policy system that must cater for different land needs. Now, that policy is currently under development. We, as I said, it was accepted. We will be presenting the draft policy to the interministerial committee of the deputy, chaired by the deputy president, towards the end of this month, and other proposals. Chairperson, you'll already be also aware that the House of Traditional Leaders nationally has also made very specific recommendations with regard to what must happen to this land. The House has recommended, among other resolutions, it took at its own summit, that this land must be transferred to traditional councils. The Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, the Department of COCTA, and the Department of Justice, early in the year, we undertook visits together with the House of Traditional Leaders to Botswana and Uganda to study the land administration models in those countries, so that as we develop this policy and legislation that will govern the future of communal land in South Africa, we have land experiences from other countries that got their freedom before us. So the next plan, obviously, is that once the plan is presented to the IMC, the position of government is presented to the IMC, the IMC, through these three main departments, is going to undertake provincial consultations with traditional leaders to discuss the proposals and the position of government, through which then ultimately the process of finalizing the policy regime for communal land administration or land administration broadly and the subsequent legislation will be developed. So that is the direction. But what we are saying, as much as there are all of these policy developments that are happening, there are people, a large number of people that are living on communal land in South Africa. And there is high levels of hunger, there's high levels of poverty, there's high levels of underdevelopment. So as the department develops the policy on the agriculture and agro-processing master plan, the primary focus and the starting point of the department is going to be one on the land reform farms that have been acquired by the state, the plus minus 9 million hectares of land acquired, and then simultaneously the development of communal land in South Africa, because the studies have shown us the potential of this land. What you see here on your screen is the breakdown of the total land surface of South Africa, the 122 million hectares. It includes towns, cities, industrial areas, suburbs, farmland, and so on. And then you will see that there is a breakdown there of the various categories of farmland. So that is in broad strokes what is in on slide 4 that is on the screen. We can move on to the next slide. Now, here, again, we are just simply trying to demonstrate, Chairperson, the essence of the policy. Having said what is going to happen with regard to the policy formulation and what is going to be the future outlook of land administration that involves communal land, government is going ahead with its plan to say we will not exclude these particular areas outside of in the former homelands as an integral part of the development of the agriculture and agro-processing master plan. I'm going to at this stage, Chairperson, invite Dr. Sifiso Ntombela to just very quickly come in here to say what is the key thrust of the agriculture and agro-processing master plan, particularly as it relates to the nearly 17 million hectares of communal land in South Africa. Sifiso?
Yeah, good afternoon, and thanks, DG, for that comment. The Agriculture and Agro-Processing Master Plan is part of the 7 sector plans that has been identified by the president, which was also stated in the SONA of 2020, where the president and the government have identified these sectors as the key drivers of reindustrialization of our economy and creation of jobs, but also ensuring that you are able to include more people into the formal economy, including those areas that have been overlooked in terms of investment into our country over the past 2 decades. And the Agriculture and Agro-Processing Master Plan in itself focuses on agriculture and agro-processing industries. And what it seeks to achieve through is basically saying, how do you build on top of the success that has been seen by the commercial sector in agriculture? As we know that the agri sector is dualistic in nature. You have on one hand, your very large, successful, export-oriented, well-resourced commercial farmers, which are predominantly white. And on one hand, you have the number of smallholder farmers who are resource poor, scattered, and whom for the very...
Sifiso, you have disappeared. Sifiso?
And force that is driving the reconstruction and growth of our economy. You ensure that you do not continue the exclusion of those that has been excluded in the past. And how we go about that in the Agriculture and Processing Master Plan is that it has five broad pillars. One of those pillars is basically around creating an investment-friendly and policy and legislative framework, which really builds up on the work that our colleagues from your land branch within the department, which are doing to try and fast-track the access into land, but also the issues of water, including the revitalization of the irrigation scheme in the former homelands, which we know they've been led to deteriorate in the past, which basically continued also to contribute into this food insecurities and poverty that we've seen in our communal areas. And also the issues of around access to market, the issues around research and development, issues around protection of soil erosion and other and adaptation to climate, but also bringing up some of the indigenous knowledge that we see sitting in different parts of our country, which has not been really given attention. And one of those commodities that are very key, particularly from the smallholder farmers, which we know from the commercial lands that has been overlooked, is really the commercialization of goats, in particular the provinces like KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape and Limpopo, but also other niche products like the cannabis and so forth. So all that part forms in the first pillar of saying, how do you create an inclusive and investment-friendly environment that can leverage from the existing government resources and be able to create that strong partnership with the private sector so that you also relate into the skills and the resources that are sitting in the private sector. And through that, that's where also we have come up with what we call the production schemes, which I think in the next slide we'll be talking about. And another area of the master plan, which is key, is then how do you create and ensure that you expand and you maintain the infrastructure in the areas, particularly around the communal areas. And part of that is really revitalizing these agri-hubs, where now we are revamping even the model and the design of it to ensure that we deal with even the international donors such as the African Development Bank, which will be able to ensure that there's that investment even on the private sector. And part of that also is to drive then the issue of the market where we have enrolled in to say, how do we even build the capacity of the emerging farmers so that they can be at the level of their counterpart in the commercial sector and be linked into the markets, both starting with your institutional market, but also linking with your regional market and leveraging on the recently signed African Continental Free Trade Agreement. And in this slide, what you're seeing now is really starting to put in step by step on the ground to say, as you create these what we call production schemes, which is really a model that will drive this massive production as well as processing, as well as the localization of food into the system so that you don't only just deal with availability of food, but you also deal with access to food as well as affordability of food, which we've seen becoming a big problem during COVID-19, where the country had enough food at the country level, but most of the households, particularly those that are in the rural poor as well as the urban poor communities, we are unable to access or to afford food. And through this rapid release of both agricultural, state-owned agricultural land, as well as some of the land that has been seen as having high potential for agricultural production, even in the communal areas, have been identified and assessed and be linked to those production schemes, specifically into the different products, so that you are able to release that land to produce certain products, particularly those that are key for our food basket. If you're looking at the 28 food items that form part of the typical food basket into the country. If you move maybe to the next slide, is then where as part of this, where we will then have to be able to say, if you can just go on the slide until you see the map. Once you've been able to identify land that is available and suitable for production, both in the communal areas and across different provinces where the state has acquired that, not of course still part of the driving the overall land reform even on the commercial land, and also now created these production schemes, is to ensure that you start aligning it to farmers and expand your extension program which also ensure that you transfer the technical knowledge and the know-how of producing across the country. And this different production scheme, what it does, basically, it shows now through that mapping exercise that has been done to say, not only just talking about communal areas of the state land, but being specific, if you go to the province of KwaZulu-Natal or the province of Limpopo, and being specific to say in each district, how much land is available and what can it be produced for. And these different production scheme is really those that has been prioritized, and there are 18 in total of them. And they ranges from those commodities that are very key for your production in terms of food security level, and also ensuring that you drive this inclusive and meaningful participation of all the farmers, including those that were previously disadvantaged, but also those commodities that have a very strong linkage with your agro-processing and your downstream industry, so that you are able to create even these high generation into our GDP for our country, but also those products that have high export orientation, so that you'll be able to generate foreign earnings for our country to ensure that you drive this balance of payment for our country. And we believe through this agriculture and agro-processing master plan is that it will then be able, when you put into all these building blocks, ranging from the investment-friendly climate, moving to the extension officers, as a relation of land, creation of the enabling infrastructure and the research, and this training of farmers, will be able to create over 317,000 jobs, over and above the 600,000 jobs at the primary level. Above that, you'll also be able to create over 63,000 jobs at the processing level, which is your SMEs, which will drive this import replacement of our product. Because we believe if you're looking into the industries, and the colleagues around your coastal areas, these are the land that are very fertile. But if you also take into account the changing climate, as the production of some of the grains moves towards the eastern northern part of our country, these are land that will become critical for our food security going forward in the next 10 to 15 years. And the identification of these priority products based on that social climate environment for this product, and they will be able to even uplift the majority of the households out of poverty. And this is my last point before I hand it to DJ, is that key to the master of the inclusivity is that it's not all about just creating jobs so that people are working into commercial farms, but it's to ensure that you also transfer these schemes so that they can be able to turn this available land and become employers and creators of the processing and economy in the rural areas in themselves, so that you are able to localize this food and you are able to really uplift the rural development in the country. So the pillars that are behind agriculture and agro-processing system to drive this inclusive growth that we'll see as now ensuring that agriculture continues to be a dominant force that lead the recovery of our economy. And I think the next two slides really talks about the work that we're already doing in the red meat production scheme, so that you can see it on the ground, how it's changing the lives of the ordinary South Africans, particularly as well as the grain, linking them into the formal market so that they don't just become informal participants into the village and going forward. DJ, you can take it. I don't know if I should proceed on these two slides of the production scheme, or you can...
That's fine, Siso. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. Sorry. Basically, what we are trying to demonstrate, Honorable Chair, while the policy around the future of land administration in South Africa is being determined through that extensive consultative process with the traditional leaders and the whole of government, we have got, through research, identified the development potential in these particular areas. I think the slide that is on the screen is just showing what the department has been doing since 2017 up to 2019, where just assisting farmers in the former homelands, in KwaZulu-Natal, in the Eastern Cape, in Northwest, and I think part of Northern Cape,